Luke chapter 5. Before I get talking about the chapter, we'll do a little bit of an introduction to it and then get into the verses. But I want to read to you verses 1 through 11 so that you get it in your mind, and then when we start studying it, some of the things I'll bring up you'll be able to recall. So we'll look at it again as we go verse by verse, but let me read the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people passed from him to hear," "and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of the Gennesarets and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which is called Simon's, and prayed him to that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets to the drought. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they spake unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished at all that were with him. He was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So you see this, I call this the final calling of Peter, Andrew, even though he's not mentioned there, James and John, to catch men. And that's that phrase where Jesus says there at the end of verse, was it 10? Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I'll explain why I call it the final calling and as we get into it. But as you get into chapter 5, you see, just by mentioning the people that we just saw here, that chapter 5 begins to call out the disciples who are going to travel with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's calling out these disciples, and so you see them calling out, if you look even at verse 27. So you have Peter, Andrew, James, John. 27, it says, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi," and that's going to be Matthew, "and Matthew joins him." So you see the Lord is calling out his apostles or his disciples, who he's going to make apostles, to come with him and to carry on the ministry. He's going to train them for that. So you see the launching, and I use that because he launched the ship, but he had the launching of the disciples, hence the apostles' ministry with Christ, and at the same time, the beginning of the Pharisees' objection. If you look at verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." So all of a sudden you realize as he's teaching and the crowds are gathering that now the Pharisees, and they're not just the Pharisees that are out of Galilee, these Pharisees are coming out of all Judea and out of Jerusalem. So they're traveling quite a ways to hear what Jesus is teaching. And as you're going to go through the chapter, you're going to see their objections to his ministry and his apostles. And so that's really kind of the thrust of Luke chapter 5 as we get into it. In fact, in verses 1 through 11 centers on the calling out, what I call the final calling of his apostles, especially the ones mentioned, specifically the ones mentioned. And then after that, we'll start seeing conflicts, some things that Jesus is doing, and the conflicts, the objections that the Pharisees, and later they're called the scribes, not just doctors of the law, the scribes, are protesting against or objecting to. Now, I need to ask you just to think about it. You don't need to answer me. But you have, in those first 11 verses, you have the calling out of Peter, Andrew, James, and John to catch men. Did it strike you funny that back in chapter 4 in verse 38, it says, and he arose when he was there in Capernaum. It says he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house and Simon's wife. He's already run into Peter, but it's here that you see him calling out Peter to come and, quote, catch men. And so it's like when I was back there in verse 38, I remembered this from other Gospels that I've taught already, the order of the calling out of the apostles. The reason I call this the final calling out, Peter has met with the Lord two, perhaps three times with that visit to his home before this would have been the third time or the fourth time that the Lord actually, that Peter and the Lord came across to each other, and now he's going to follow the Lord from this point on. And you don't like when I read verse 38, we haven't even saw the fact that Peter has been called to be an apostle. We just saw that as he's going through Capernaum, he stopped at Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. But that's the point of this, is there's been other encounters. And my point here, it won't so much to try to put it all in order, but I want to show you some of these. Come over with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. What really, it was back in Matthew or Mark, one of the two, is when he comes along and he finds Peter and Andrew, and then he walks a little further and he gets James and John, and they're mending their nets, and he says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And it said they left their nets and followed him. And I always thought it's strange, you know, just that quick. Oh, there's the Lord. But that wasn't the first time they met the Lord. Here's the first time they met the Lord. In John chapter 1, in verse 35, it says, again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So that's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Verse 40. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, the day following, you're going to see there that he goes and he finds, the end of verse 43, he finds Philip. When you get down to verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael. By the way, Nathanael, when you get to a list of the apostles, Nathanael is Bartholomew. All these guys have, you know, like some kind of different name. But anyhow, so as you read John chapter 1, you see the introduction where the Lord, John, is already has a disciple. That one disciple was Andrew. And then Andrew goes find Peter, and you always find that true of Andrew. He's always finding someone else to bring to the Lord. But anyhow, this is the first encounter where Peter knows who the Lord is and has met the Lord. Now the second, I'm going to take him kind of backwards. Come over to Mark chapter 1. I guess at this point I'm going to depend on you to realize what we've studied in Luke, back at Luke chapter 4. We're not going to compare the verses. I'll just try to remind you of it. But in Mark chapter 1, you begin in verse 16. And it says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Now catch what they're doing. They're casting their net into the sea. "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets." So these guys are mending the nets. The other one were casting their nets. Anyhow, "and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Now, I'm glad the father had hired servants. Usually, you know, like a father starts a business, the sons help out, but Jesus is calling them to follow him, and they're going to leave their father. He left the father in the ship. But at least he had servants to help the father so that they could go on and serve the Lord. But you have that introduction that took place there. That's not the same as what we just read in the book of Luke. And this is what I would call the second encounter. There's a couple other things I want to point out to you while we're here. Look over at verse 29. It says, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And Simon's wife, mother-in-law, laid sick of a fever, and on they tell him of her." And so he goes in and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now, you didn't read that in the book of Luke. See the order here? He already met them by the Sea of Galilee while they were fishing. And then after that, he goes and he comes into Peter's house. Peter already knew the Lord. So there was that meeting in when he first met him in John chapter 1. Then the second time Peter meets the Lord is over here when the Lord was walking by the Sea of Galilee and called them to him to be fishers of men. And then the third time is when he stops at Peter's house and heals his mother-in-law. The fourth time will be over in Luke chapter 5. That's why you'll see that it reads different. There's a whole different account. There's something else I'd like to show you since I'm doing that. Come over to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 13, just get to where they're at, it says, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the border of Zebulun and Naphtali." So there's some things Matthew is going to connect some Bible prophecies to the Lord starting way up in the north, in his public ministry. But we already studied about his ministry in Nazareth. Then he goes to Capernaum. When he's in Capernaum, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Okay, that matches what we just read in Mark. "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him." And then it gives a summary of the ministry of Jesus Christ in Galilee. Now, the reason I came here is notice what takes place in chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew. It has a little summary of his ministry there in Galilee after he calls Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You see, like in chapter 5, verse 1, "And seeing the multitude, he went into a mountain. And when he had set his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." You know, if you're by the Sea of Galilee, there's not a mountain there. The Sea of Galilee is sea level. He's near somewhere near Galilee, But he leaves Galilee and he goes up into a mountain, and we call this the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. You didn't have that in Luke. You don't have that in Mark. So that takes place, 5, 6, and 7. You come to chapter 8 of Matthew. And then in chapter 8, verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So now he's coming back down the mountain. And when you pick up in verse 14, it says, and when Jesus was come into Simon Peter's house. No, wait a minute, I missed one there. Oh, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum. So he was in Capernaum, went up into a mountain, came back to Capernaum. So he comes back to Capernaum, and now verse 14, and when Jesus was come into to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and so he healed her. So you realize, when you're reading different gospel accounts, you're getting different details. And, you know, like Peter fits in the very fact that when he was in Capernaum, he leaves into a mountain, comes back to Capernaum, and that's when he goes into Peter's house. But Peter had already been called, and followed him somewhat. So if you get those movements, my point to you is not so much, you know, there's people who study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I really appreciate Pastor Charles Baker. It's a small book. It's called Understanding the Gospels. But what he does is he tries to put all the events in chronological order. And people have written big volumes of books trying to put them in chronological order and arguing what the order should be. I like what Pastor Jordan says, and it really, it's got to be the truth. God doesn't expect us to know the chronological order, or he would have gave us the chronological order. There's a reason that each gospel writer writes about the things that they do, because of something the Holy Spirit is expressing through their writings. And so my purpose here was not to show you, okay, look at this is 1, 2, 3, and now Luke chapter 5 is the fourth coming. I did that not for to show 1, 2, 3, or 4, just so that when you get to chapter 5 and start reading about Peter, you're not saying, well, wait a minute, I thought Peter has already been to Peter's house. And, you know, that was chapter 4. Now over in chapter 5, and when you come to chapter 5, it's totally different than anything we just read in Mark or in Matthew. Because this is not the same account. Some have speculated, and I think it must be true, that when he called them to be his, to follow him, they followed him, but eventually went back fishing. It's at the end of chapter 5, verse 11 here, when it says, and when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now the former is forsaken. Now they're following him. And that's why I call it the final call to them to be an apostle, disciple, and ultimately an apostle of Jesus Christ. So that really helps us now to get us prepared for studying what's going to take place here in chapter 5. So again, let's now start looking at this from verse 1. The reason I'm looking at my notes, some of the stuff that I thought I was going to bring out later is actually, we don't have to go back to those verses. I've kind of made a point as we were going. When I get to the verse, I'll share it at the verse instead of now. Start in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Genesaret. Now, the first thing though is what a difference. Do you remember I kept making a contrast in chapter 4 of the Lord's ministry in Nazareth, his hometown? He was rejected. In fact, it ended by them trying to, you talk about pressing him, they're backing him off, trying to get him to fall off a cliff. Now people are pressing him to hear the word of God. What a difference. And really, when you think about it, what a difference in our society or in any society. People that are rejecting Jesus Christ don't want to hear from him. And other people who gather because they can't get enough, they want to hear more. And hopefully we're like the kind of people that are there in Capernaum that want to hear more. And so the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And he stood by the lake Genesaret. So they're not just there for the miracles, because we've already saw that he has been drawing people because of the healing that he's been doing, but they're there to hear the word of God. So that's a real positive beginning for Luke chapter 5. Now it says he stood by the lake of the Genesaret. That word Genesaret, it just simply means lake of. And what it's referring to, and I put the map back up there, and you can realize Capernaum is on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. But really, just a little bit north of Capernaum, it's kind of associated with Capernaum, because when you read these other accounts, he's in Capernaum. But just north of that is the fertile land there, because you're by the water, and so the land is flat, and it's very fertile. And that's when it says the Genesarets, it's talking about the lake of the Genesarets, that lake has brought that land, that's a very special land. In fact, when Sanj and I had the opportunity to go to Israel, we started out in Galilee, right in Capernaum. And we saw what they think is the house, that they have it classed in, that they claim is Peter's house. Not very big. But anyhow, whether they're right or not, but it is the northern part, right in that area that we're calling the Genesaret here, and just outside of his house is a synagogue. Do you remember he already taught in the synagogue, verse 38 of chapter 4. He rose out of the synagogue. And there's a synagogue right there, and that's probably the synagogue that he was there in verse 38 of chapter 4. Interesting. But I say that just because when I can visualize Peter's house, whether it really was his house or not. But anyhow, Peter's going to come out. But that's what that Genesaret means, lake of. And it's really, the lake is Galilee. The land is called the Genesaret. And that's near Capernaum, where Peter and James and John and Andrew are all from. So in verse 2 and 3 it says, and so the Lord is in that area, and the people are pressing him in that area, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, you see what I started to tell you about before. When you read that and read about Peter's encounter with the Lord in Mark or in Matthew, they're throwing their nets in the water. James and John are mending their nets. Here, there's nobody in a ship. There's two ships that are empty. One of the ship is for Peter and his Andrew and Peter, and then the other ship is James and John, and they're not in their ships. They're over there washing their nets. They're not even mending their nets. They're washing their nets. So this is a whole different situation. Verse 3 says, and he entered into one of the ships, which is Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. So Simon knows who this Lord is. And so he goes in that ship and he asks him to thrust out of the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So instead of the people pressing and he can't communicate to the crowd, he gets into Peter's ship and he says, just go out a little ways, and now he can address the people on the land. And what I get a kick out of, he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. I'm used to standing up when I teach. He sat down and taught. You wonder, how long did he teach? Because, verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. So now he's not just a little bit offshore, he wants to go further offshore, and let down your nets to the draught. And that is down into the deep. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. Now you think about this. Simon, why are they washing their nets? They're done fishing. They fished all night. They come back, they wash their nets, and then the Lord goes into the ship and said, Peter, thrust out a little ways, and then the Lord sits down and talks. Peter's been up all night. He's working. When I read that word toil, I'm thinking, oh, he knows what toil means. Can you imagine? taking your net all night long, throwing it out, bringing it up, nothing, throwing it out, bringing it up, nothing, throwing it out, bringing it up, nothing, all night long. Finally, you know, you got a bunch of weeds and stuff in your net, rocks, whatever's in the net. You take it back to land, you spread it out, you wash the nets for, you go fishing the next day or something. And now the Lord is going to tell him after listening to him preach. I'm surprised you stayed awake, but you listen to the Lord preach. And now the Lord says, launch out into the deep and throw out your net. So Peter doesn't say no. He just starts reasoning with the Lord. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Boy, that's commendable, is it not? At thy word. You're going to take, just do what Jesus said. Jesus didn't promise him anything. Just said, throw out your net. And that he says, we fished all night and caught nothing. You know, if this was morning when they were washing the net, and Jesus began to teach, it had to be an hour or more that he's teaching. Not only is Peter tired, but this is not time to go fishing. I get lazy these days. I go fishing in the middle of the day, but ask Sanjay what I catch when I come home. I catch nothing. I never catch a fish. You know, a true fisherman, he's not going to go out in the afternoon and catch fish. He's going to go in the morning. He's going to go in the evening. And Peter went out in the evening, stayed all night. And now it's got to be close to the afternoon or something. And the Lord says, go out, throw out your net. Oh, come on, Lord. We've been through this. I can't hardly do this again. But at your word, I'll do what you said. Verse 6. And when they had done this. Now, oh, by the way, notice he's talking. He went into Peter's ship. Verse 5, and Peter answered and said, and verse 6 says, and when they had done this, they. Now, I know from our other reading, Peter's brother is Andrew. Andrew is the one who introduced Peter to the Lord, but Peter always takes top position. Andrew is hardly mentioned again. He'll only be mentioned one more time in Luke, and that's when Luke's going to give a list of, in chapter 6 of all the apostles. And but other than that, Luke doesn't even mention Andrew again. You learn more about Andrew in John's gospel. But anyhow, when I say they, I said, oh, okay, Andrew's got to be there. I don't know if they have servants helping them as well. But when I see they in verse 6, I realize, okay, now Andrew is there too. And even though Peter's getting all the credit, it says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, it didn't apparently bust totally open because they're able to get these fishes yet. So the net is like breaking or busting because of the number of fish. You know, enclosed a great deal. You're not a fish with a net. You throw the net out and you have these drawstrings. And when you pull the net up, it comes together. It encloses. And it encloses so the fish don't fall out of the net. But now they pull it up and this net is breaking because there's so many fish in there. Verse 7 says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. So that tells me when Peter and Andrew launched out deep in their ship, that John and James and John, that other ship, we said there was two ships there, they also launched out there, probably watching to see what's going on. And when they see what's going on, it says, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So they filled those ships so deep that the water level was right at the brim of the ship, and they had to get back to shore. Hopefully wasn't too many waves there, so they get back with all the fish. And so they caught that multitude of fish. But that brings us to verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, it says in the book of Amos, and it's a time in which the prophet Amos is judging the nation of Israel, pointing out how they're under God's curse, that Amos ends by saying, prepare to meet thy God. And I think of that in the light, anybody who comes in the presence of deity realizes they're sinful and have no right to stand in the presence of deity. When the Lord called Isaiah, Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He realized he's standing, and it's holy, 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 the seraphims are announcing. And Isaiah realized, oh man, everybody realizes that for a sinful man to stand in the presence of God is death. And Simon, that's exactly, Simon knows the Lord. He knows he is the Messiah. He's realizing he is God of nature. He is the God that he's standing in his presence. And so depart from me. Why? To stand in the presence of God as a sinful person? You're going to die. For I am a sinful man, O Lord. So he's well aware of the fact that he has no right to be in the presence of the Lord. Now the Lord don't answer him anything. You'll learn later in this chapter about some forgiveness. But anyhow, Simon understands his position before God. He's really aware of who Jesus Christ is. And verse 9 says, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes. Now, by the way, that word draught there, the draught or whatever, the other place that's found in the Bible, it's talking about waste. So I looked it up, and it's a different Greek word. This word, I couldn't even find it in the English dictionary, but it means a haul. To haul, H-A-U-L. And they did haul in a lot of fish. And that's what he's talking about here, is that great multitude of fishes that they're bringing in that are in that net. And he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So when he said those partners came with their ship, now we know that the partners, are the people from that other ship. It's James and John, the sons of Zebedee. What's interesting to me, Andrew's there. I believe Andrew's there. I can't prove it. You could probably tell me I'm wrong, and I'd have to agree with you, because his name's not there. But the they back up in verse 6 makes me think Andrew is there. But anyhow, we're just naming those three men that are there. And those are the big three, Peter, James, and John. They stand out among the 12 apostles. When they go to the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John go with him. When he goes to pray, Peter, James, and John go further than the other apostles. These are the big three of the apostles. But anyhow, they're there. But the whole point of verse 10 is not only they're there, they're also astonished at what just took place. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Keep that in mind. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. And so you really see how this is now, they see his deity, they realize, okay, give up fishing. Let's follow the Lord. We're being called, and they're going to follow the Lord in that. When they follow the Lord, there's some things that we just kind of summarize together here. When he says, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So now they're going to be fishers of men, as it said in other places. But when they come to the land, and they forsake all and follow them. But when they were called previously, where we read it in Mark and Matthew, it didn't say you'll catch men, did it? It says you'll be fishers of men. This is more of the positive. They're being called to go out and fish for men. Here they're being told you're going to catch men. Just like they caught these abundant fish, they're going to go catch men. And it's really a prophecy about the ministry that they're being called for. Hold your place here. Come to Acts chapter 2. The picture, the whole idea, why is the Lord all of a sudden let him catch a bunch of fish? Well, it's a picture of what their ministry is going to be like. They're going to go out and fish. Before I get too far carried away, they're going to go out and catch men. And that's, and they're going to catch multitudes of men. And that's the point of that. what I started to say, and we're not going to look at it, but do you remember at the end of the Gospel of John that they went back fishing again in chapter 21 of John? And the Lord, after his resurrection, calls them back. That's why their ministry in Acts is going to pick up again. Acts is when they're going to catch the men. He's going to leave, and they're going to go out in their ministry, and they're going to catch men. But the very thing that they were called to do, they went back to fishing. Peter says in the end of chapter 21 of John, I go fishing. And then the Lord shows up while they're fishing, and he calls them back to catching men. And when they call back to catching men, the ministry in the book of Acts, God sends the Holy Spirit upon them, and then they go out and minister. And just to point out these verses, Acts chapter 2, look at verse 41. And this is the people that heard Peter preach. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Come over to chapter 5, verse 14. It says, and believers were the more added unto the Lord, multitudes of men and women. So we got 4,000, we got 5,000, now we got multitudes. And notice we're saying in verse 14, and the believers were the more added to the Lord. So they're being added. Even in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is being called here, but his ministry isn't launched. There's some things that he's doing, so his ministry is started. But when you get over to Acts chapter 9 and he stops persecuting the Gentile or the Jewish churches, it says in verse 31 of Acts 9, it says, then had the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Well, you know, you can keep adding, but when you multiply, things get bigger, don't they? And that's the whole point. Remember in chapter 20, we're not going to go there, of the book of Acts, Paul finally goes to Jerusalem and he meets James. Now, it's not the apostle James, but it's the brother of the Lord. But anyhow, he meets James and James says, see how many thousands of Jews there are that believe and they're all zealous of the law. So when you're reading over here in Luke and the disciples are being called to be Peter, James, John, and Andrew are being called. Later on, you're going to see, like we said, Matthew will be added. We already talked about Philip and Bartholomew or Nathaniel being called out, that these men are going to catch multitudes of men. Now, one last thing as we close this. And it's just something that someone suggested, and I thought, oh, I see that. And that is, they caught all these fish, then they leave. How much are all those fish worth? Someone suggested that perhaps the catching of all this fish, if they're going to leave their bread and butter, their support, the Lord helps them catch a multitude of fishes, and it might be what they needed to support themselves when they begin following the Lord and leaving that behind. And I thought, oh, maybe. Doesn't say that, but they did something with all them fishes. They're fishermen. They make money selling fish. And it might have been that last haul was what they needed to support them as they're now going to follow the Lord in his ministry. Now there's going to be opposition as we continue on in Luke chapter 5, but we got the calling out of some of the apostles. We'll see Levi, Matthew coming up later on there. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for allowing us to look at the life of Christ and even see Peter and James and John and perhaps input Andrew. But just to see their connections with the Lord, their realization of who he is, and their willingness to follow him and to give up all and follow him. Certainly, Lord, as you tell us in the Bible, that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. May we follow this kind of instruction to realize that the spiritual is more important than the physical, and to Do what Peter said. Whatever the Lord says, just do it. And so we pray that we might have that kind of faith and that kind of action in our life as well. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.